so very much for checking out the Sportsline podcast here on CHCH. I'm Bubba O'Neill. As we like to say in these parts, if you can make it in Hamilton, Halton, and Niagara, you can certainly make it anywhere. And it's those teams, athletes, executives, and broadcasters who will be first and foremost on the Sportsline podcast. From Southern California to Southern Ontario, this member of the Hamilton Tiger Cats has been a difference maker since catching his first touchdown pass in the Labor Day Classic of 2021. In three seasons, this multi-sport athlete has been traveling upward on a steady road of success, and now Tim White is considered one of the elite receivers in the Canadian Football League. But while he's known for his skills on the field, what White is doing off the field has identified him as a human that's making a significant contribution to those less fortunate on the other side of the world. Well, we're not in season right now. It's off season. Tim White joins us from Southern California, and this is a treat for us coming off what you've established so far in your career. Great to get you here on the Sportsline podcast, Tim.
Yes, sir. Thank you for having me. A wonderful introduction. But, you know, I'm grateful to be here, and thank you for having me on here.
Right on. You know, training camp in sight. It's only about a month away. In the meantime, though, what have you been up to in the off season in California when you went home?
Yeah, in California, you know, really I'm just making sure I'm locked in on my training, you know, staying in shape, just continue to sharpen my skills, and hanging out with the family, you know, making sure I get as much family time as possible before we get into this journey for the 2024 season.
And that's something that I think sometimes many of us here in this country, in the Canadian Football League as well, too, we identify with the Canadian players. But for someone like yourself, where you're really three time zones away, it's good for you to get home and just kind of get in contact with your peeps, isn't it?
Absolutely. You know, there's just so much joy, you know, when we're back home, just being able to share the experience that you had in Canada, you know, and throughout the season. And bring it home and, you know, tell those stories to all your nieces, nephews, friends, you know, and from what they've seen on TV, you know, they just have so much excitement. So, yeah, just get out here and, you know, give them that type of story. Yeah.
How about the home cooking? I'm sure that's a little better, too, for you.
You got to, you know, you got to enjoy that.
Hey, this has been an interesting contract year for you. I mean, you put up the outstanding numbers last season. Like I said, steady progression through three seasons after your stint in the National Football League with a couple of teams. I mean, has it been everything that you thought it was going to be being here in the Canadian Football League?
Absolutely. Coming up here, I really wanted to step out here and not have any expectations, you know, as a rookie. So, you know, I came up here, I just said I was going to work hard. I was going to try to be the best teammate that I could be and make sure that I just, you know, try to be the best professional that I could be. And what entailed with that was that, you know, I got on the field and I was able to be productive. I was able to show my skills and continue to just climb the ladder and solidify my position on the field. And right now it doesn't stop. You know, I have to continue to grind, continue to show my excellence on the field, and hopefully help my team get a championship.
You know, and that's the thing. I'm 25 years without a Grey Cup in Hamilton, and you're looked at as one of the leaders, as a guy that's going to help the Tiger Cats get to the championship and get over the top. Good for you this season and the offseason there. You get together the two-year contract as a free agent. That's got to be a good feeling that, you know what, that, you know, financially that your worth is being respected.
Yeah, you know, again, coming in here and getting locked in, that was a great experience. You know, I wanted to really try to set the market, you know, as a wide receiver. Didn't necessarily happen that way. But, you know, just know they're still getting a hungry player. They're getting a guy who, you know, has tremendous experience, and just look forward to getting out there with my team.
You know, and it's interesting that you do bring that up when you talk about setting the market. And this is no different than any other player at any other position. And I don't know, was there some negative noise? Because I'll be honest, as a Ticat broadcaster, as a CHCH guy here, and I know many fans had talked to me that there was a tweet that you put out that scared a lot of people. And you said to the likes, you know, there hasn't been a situation that I have been in before. I'm prepared for the worst. And this is not a goodbye to Hamilton as I know it. As all will work out. What were you trying to express there?
Absolutely. You know, I think one of the biggest things was, you know, a lot of fans, they show great support. So, you know, I would like to say thank you to all the fans that support me, Thank you to all the people that support me throughout that process. And, you know, there's a lot of fans who, you know, really don't understand, and they just want to see you be signed to the team no matter what. So I understand that as well. But one thing was is that I wasn't going to settle. You know, I was going to understand my value, and I was going to stand on that. And, you know, I wanted the best opportunity to really get all the information that I can get in order to be able to make the decision, the final decision, which, you know, I had, you know, one other offer out there. I didn't have any other offers from any other teams. So, you know, looking at all the information, it was my best opportunity to come back to Hamilton, which I love to be in. You know, that's where I want to continue my career. So it just so happens that the opportunity worked out that I'm back here.
And, you know, I think they have that old saying that what's supposed to be is supposed to will happen. And I guess that, you know, when what's owed to you will come to you. So do you feel like that's really what happened in the end?
Yeah, in the end, you know, those were the opportunities that I have. It's a business first. So, you know, I can't necessarily take it personal. I have to understand what I'm up against. And, you know, from that point on, once I make that decision, it's locked in, it's go time, you know. So right now it's about showing up for my teammates, it's about showing up for my team and making sure that they just get the best Tim White that they can get.
New head coach, you'd probably grown pretty accustomed to Coach O and Orlando Steinauer now moves up to the president's office, and you know, you've got a new head coach. What's that feel like? Is there a feeling that you got to reprove yourself, a new general manager as well?
Absolutely. You know, every year that you step on the field, you know, into training camp, you're looking to prove yourself. You're looking to show either that you've grown or you're looking to show that you're continuing to be dominant. You know, so with our new head coach, you know, I definitely look to showing him what I could do. I feel like that's what I did last year, you know, when he came into the season, you know, last year. I felt like I was on the tryout again. You know, I felt like I had to prove myself. I had to show my skills, show my ability, so he can know that, so he knows what he has to work with. It's the same thing going on this year. You know, every single year they're trying to replace you. You know, there's a tough league. So I'm just looking to continue to sharpen my skills, continue to be dedicated to my team, dedicated to my craft, and when I step on the field, just, you know, light it up.
And Scott Milanovich, also your head coach, also your offensive coordinator. You know what? There's some moves that were made as well, too, at free agency. They brought back some guys at the wide receiver position, but, you know, brought some big guys, some big targets as well, too. Bo Levi Mitchell expected to be healthy this season. Are you excited for the prospects of what the Tiger Cats offense can produce?
Yes, absolutely. You got to mention JB too, man. That dude running the ball like that, that excites me, you know, whenever you can run the ball. I think there are great pieces. I'm especially excited about this defense. I'm ready to see what this defense does. And, you know, on the offensive side of the ball, putting it all together. I think having Scott, you know, calling the plays, he's like Steph Curry, you know, like when he puts it up there, it's going in, you know. So when he calls that play, you know, we're going to see the defense that we want. We're going to see the look that we want. And, you know, we're going to execute that play.
You know, I talked about obviously some of the things in your career and what you've put together on the football field. And as I said off the top, this has been kind of a different off season for you. You traveled to the other side of the world. You went to the Philippines on behalf of World Vision. You know, Nick Dembski, Marc-Antoine Dacroix, a guy that's always generally watching you on the football field, and Reggie Begelton. What was that all about?
Man, I could say one thing. It was a great experience. It was a tremendous experience that, you know, when I got the opportunity, I really didn't know what to expect. You know, and I went out there, I was chosen to be an ambassador, you know, from the CFL and the Ticats and World Vision. And, you know, I accepted it because I was like, what is this experience going to be? You know, I always wanted an opportunity to give back. So now that World Vision selected me, you know, as a player ambassador, I just thought it would be a great opportunity to represent them and just, you know, go with them throughout this journey. So, yeah, it was just a great opportunity for me.
What was it like? I mean, I you're clearly not in like Manila in like the big cities. You went to some of the small towns, and I think it's fair to say some people that, you know, that maybe need some help as well.
Yeah, it was a 10-day trip. You know, it was out there with, you know, three other players, and we got to visit schools. We got to read the children books and, you know, just help them with literature and everything like that. We also got to just walk a child to his house, you know, and just see what their living conditions look like, which was a great experience. You know, it was a tough experience as well, because, you know, just seeing the living conditions that they're in and seeing how World Vision really provides, you know, support for those families in the community. I think, you know, opened my eyes to what CFL fans should see whenever they're looking at, okay, World Vision, why should I make a donation? Why should I help out? You know, these situations are extremely tough, extremely harsh, but with what World Vision does, I believe that, you know, their donations will go in the right places. We also got to visit 1,500 students, you know, at their school. And I could tell you one thing, man, we had to sign 1,500 autographs from little kids. You know, it was extremely packed. They're extremely packed to our face, and they're like, all right, they're so excited and they're just joyous about it. You know, you wouldn't even know that they're going through some of these, you know, experiences at home, because when they're at school and you see how the teachers are really dedicated to helping them, you know, learn about, you know, education and, you know, helping them study, providing them, you know, with pencils, papers, you get to really see what World Vision is doing to impact, you know, really allowing them, giving them the supplies so they're able to, you know, teach these kids. It was a joy, you know, it was a joy overall. So, you know, I'm just continuing to be, you know, grateful to share that experience with World Vision and some of the players in the CFL. And, you know, I look to see what World Vision continues to do.
Have you ever been outside of North America?
I've been to Colombia for a track meet. Yeah, for a track meet representing the United States.
Right.
That's probably been the only time, yeah, I've been out.
Was it kind of a, like, I mean, and I know for myself, because I've been in a situation very similar to that. It's kind of a, I don't want to say a slap in the face, but it's a dose of reality to see what we have in North America and what other people don't have.
Absolutely. You know, it's kind of like, when you see how they're living, I mean, for us, like, we have like a different standard of living, I would say. You know, for them, they're probably, you know, happy in some of their circumstances, you know, and then some, you know, they could probably feel, you know, the struggles. But, you know, for us, it's like, yeah, we have so much resources, you know, at our hands, at our disposal, that it's kind of like, it's like, man, it's not even comparable, you know?
And I know you were one of nine siblings growing up in Los Angeles, and times weren't always great for you, and you had to struggle as well too. Did you find that union and maybe understand the people a little bit more because you've had to kind of go through your own little struggles when you were younger?
Absolutely, and some of those circumstances, you know, I kind of had, you know, a similarity, you know, kind of growing up in, you know, a small, you know, environment, small house, you know, with a large family, you know, and just, you know, some of those lack of resources that you have, you know, it did remind me, but, you know, it also showed that, you know, the opportunity here is just greater, you know, as far as college resources, high school resources and stuff like that. So World Vision being able to continue to provide, you know, the resources that they are, you know, some of the projects that they have, the livelihood project, you know, which they provide, you know, some of the fishermen with boats, they provide, you know, I had a experience with the broom makers, you know, there's four families which they made brooms, and World Vision provides the brooms for them. Which is allows them to sell, you know, on the market so they can make money for their family. So there was just so many different opportunities that World Vision provided, you know, those families with, so they're able to have success and they're able to do what they do. And I believe that that's one of the biggest things. And that's why I'm really happy that I chose world vision, and that they chose me to be an ambassador for them. And the experience is second to none.
You know, it really is something about the simple things in life. And Tim, I know in your first year, I brought this up with you in a press conference, and you know, getting to understand who you are and where you come from and where you've gotten to. And unfortunately, when you were growing up, you had the death of your brother Elwood. I mean, when you do what you do, what you did over there, and what you've done on the football field, is it not just one big motivational thing for you, and probably the fact that Elwood would be so proud of what you've accomplished so far?
Absolutely. You know, it's just one thing, just continuing to stay humble, you know, throughout the process, you know, and understanding that there's just more life to live. There's more to give out there, you know. So, and I believe that that's what my brother would want to do. He would want me to do is to go out and experience, you know, some of those things that World Vision really provided for, you know, the four players that went out there. And, you know, just the experience giving back, you know, seeing how joyous the kids were to see us and meet us. You know, they thought we played basketball, and we put them on the game of football. Like, you know, me and Nick Dembski, we're like, man, I think we just played the first ever football game in the Philippines. Like, because it was intense. Like, the kids, they really, like, enjoyed, like, being out there and balling with us. Like, that just felt so good. And, you know, it was fun. Officially, my team did win. I only had, you know, me and the kids out there, and we were going up against Madden 99 overall players who, you know, Reggie Bagleton, Mark, and Nick were on the same team throwing dimes. So it was challenging. But, you know, we made it work, and we got the dub at the end of the day.
Well, you know, the happiest guy might be the commissioner, Randy Ambrosi. You know, it might have to be a world draft now instead of, like, in open up the Canadian draft to being a world draft. There's going to be one or two of those little Filipino kids that could be getting deep, you know, 50 and 60 yards.
Hey, it's definitely a high possibility, man. They surely embraced our game. You know, we learned a little bit about their games, but they embraced our games. And the kids, they were going wild whenever we got in the end zone. We were doing all type of dances, and they were going crazy. It was a super fun experience. There's no doubt.
Well, it was fun to see those pictures because you could just tell that you guys were going over there and had that sort of rock star status, because you can see how many of them were just focused and locked on everything that you guys did. Hey, you know, when you look towards 2024, and you know, on my broadcast, and we've talked, you know, after games, I mean, losses and victories on the Ticats Audio Network, you know, my broadcast partners or the likes are two guys that I know that are former All-Stars and Fan 2s and Tasker. And, you know, of course, because they're receivers, they're maybe harder on you, or you know, not critical, but, you know, they critique you and critique all the other wide receivers. And they continue to say to me that Tim White is outstanding, but he can be even better in 2024. Do you believe that?
Absolutely. I definitely believe that, you know, having Scott Milanovic, you know, down at the helms calling the plays and, you know, leading the charge. As a head coach, you know, I believe that the opportunity is going to be there. You know, I just have to continue to sharpen my skills, continue to be dedicated to the game, and just show up for my team. That's the biggest thing. Show up for my team and try to get us to a championship and try to get us to win a championship.
But, like, again, these numbers that we're looking at right now, steady progress from 2021 to 22 to 23, a three-time All-Star, two-time Ticats MOP. Tim White, it has been fantastic to talk to you. We're so looking forward to what you put together in 2024 as a leader, as a guy out there that, you know, people know about your skills and have known for a couple of years, and you continue to impress, and even more so with what you did in the Philippines, representing Hamilton, representing the Tiger Cats so well. We're very proud of what you've accomplished and certainly look forward to talking to you in training camp.
Thank you so much, and I'm looking forward to it was a pleasure to be on your show, and thank you.
Well, folks, that's your Sportsline podcast for the day. And as you've just seen and heard, we love talking sports to individuals who are making a difference. And in this case, making a difference in the Philippines. If you do know of an athlete, team, or event to promote, the Sportsline podcast do want to hear from you. Hey, do me a favor. Hit that thumbs up, like, and subscribe button. And if you do have something to say, please comment. For the wonderful people that make the Sportsline podcast possible, we thank you so very much. And we'll see you tomorrow.